Bella, what's the password? What's my password?
It's capital Z.
Yeah!
Small Z. What?
What is it?
Capital Z. Small Z. 22, then an asterisk, 55, capital Z.
This is
Z.
What we want to be doing right now?
What?
Okay, I'm in. Okay, cool. Thank you. All right, KFI AM 640. It's Conway's show. And we have the president in town, ladies and gentlemen. And whenever the president is in town, everybody's got to follow some new rules, right? There's restrictions on airspace. There's restrictions on where you can go. And the guy that knows more than anybody else in Los Angeles with these restrictions is the guy who's, been restricted before in his life when it comes to this. His name is Tim Lin. He used to fly for KTLA, and now he's retired watching drinking beer and watching Ducks games. Does that about wrap up your retirement?
That pretty much does. Yeah, living the dream, man, waking up on top of the grass.
Good for you, buddy. Tim Lin, welcome to the program. Nice to hear your voice again, buddy.
Yeah, good talk with you, Timmy. It's fun to come on with you and talk about this mess that happens every time they come in.
Before we get into that, I have to tell you, I've reduced my KTLA watching by about 98% since you've been gone.
Oh, man. Well,
almost 100%. If it wasn't for Glenn Walker and Chip Yost and maybe Sam Rubin, I would have been totally gone. But Tim Lin, well, you are the master of that helicopter. You not only knew about the fires and the fire retardant and how to fight these fires when you covered fires. You knew everything about accidents. You knew everything about the high speed chases. Nobody knew the freeways like you. And I can't believe that KTLA or that ABC, NBC, CBS, that somebody hasn't called you and said you got to get back in the air.
Yeah, you know, I think I need to get an agent to start going out there working for me and maybe rattling some trees. You know anybody that might,
yes, might I'm your new that. Agent. We'll do it on the air. We're going to start with interviewing tomorrow with news directors.
Yeah.
But there seriously, you can get right back up there, right? You've kept all your licenses current?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I flew last night with the Orange County Sheriff's Department.
Good.
Still in there every once in a while. And
oh, that's great.
Was out playing in the mountains last night. So,
okay.
Yeah. Totally
gotta,
current, ready to roll.
Got to get you back up there, bud. All right, so the president's in town. We have some restrictions. Is it a 30-mile zone?
Yeah, there's a 30-mile ring that extends out from Long Beach Airport, where he's probably touching down right now. I just was watching him on the flight radar. He was just turning over the Long Beach Harbor as we went on. And so that 30-mile ring goes pretty much all the way up past the San Fernando Valley to Malibu, out to John Wayne, to Ontario, and out past Catalina. So that's how big that circle is.
Wow.
And within that 30-mile circle, you're not allowed to just drive around. If you come off an airport that's in that 30-mile circle, you have to be in direct contact with radar and be going from point A to point B. You just can't go out for a pleasure flight at that time. Now, right around Long Beach Airport is a 10-mile circle, and that is an absolute no-fly zone. You can't even come off the ground if you're in that 10 miles radius of Long Beach Airport. So they have these two areas, and they all go up to just about 18,000 feet, just short of 18,000 feet. In fact, he's on short final now for Long Beach. Within that 10-mile, like I said, it's a no-fly zone. You cannot fly. So if you could, let's say, take off from John Wayne Airport, which is in the 30-mile, and you start flying, you say, hey, I'm going to go up to Pomona, and you start flying towards Pomona, but then you make that left turn and start heading towards that 10-mile circle,
right?
You're going to get a lot of company up there in a real big hurry, because they are flying what they call a security cap over the top. There's F-16s up there just waiting for somebody to screw up.
So there's F-16s up there right now flying at around 12 to 18,000 feet. You can't hear them from the ground.
No. No, they may be even higher than that, and they're flying a cap basically to be ready to go. And to
are they flying in circles?
Yeah, like real fast circles.
Right. How many are there, by the way? Do you know?
You know, I'm not sure how many, but I'm sure there's more than one. And then down low, you have the helicopters from the United States Customs and Border Enforcement folks that will come up. You also have local law enforcement from LAPD. And down in San Diego, where the radar that covers this area is located, you have a Secret Service guy sitting right on the shoulder of the controller in this area.
Wow.
And he wants to know exactly who's where. In fact, one night flying Sky 5, we were out in Ontario, and I wanted to come back to our base airport, called in, did all the stuff I needed to do, checked in, talking to him, and said, going direct to Whiteman Airport. Well, I went direct, I'm at 3,000 feet, but then I went between the Verdugos and Mount Wilson, and I fell off radar.
Oh, no.
As I popped out the other side, they were a little bit excited at me.
Wow.
Just, they knew who I was, but once I fell off radar, I'm sure that Secret Service agent was just having a fit because they couldn't see me and didn't know exactly where I'd gone. But luckily, I popped out the other side.
Do you remember that story? Again, Tim Lynn is with us. He used to fly for a news station here in L.A. But do you remember there was a guy that was flying from San Diego or Mexico, and he just happened to fly through the 30-mile zone, totally unaware that Barack Obama was in town. And the F-16s brought him down to Long Beach Airport, forced him to land, and they found 30 or 40 pounds of weed in his plane.
Yeah, he was not one of the smarter dope transporter dope mules. He took off actually from Catalina.
Oh, Catalina, yeah. Okay.
Didn't even know there was a presidential TFR. So he climbed up out of Catalina and went up to about 11,000 feet so he'd go over the LAX airspace, which if he was fair enough, I'm clean. I'm going to fly east and off I go. And next thing he knows, he's having an F-16 right next to him rocking his wing. And so they forced him down at Long Beach Airport. Then, everybody showed up. And I'm sure he was like, I have weed. I have weed. That's all I have is weed. And they're like, we don't care about your weed. We want to know about you.
Now. After they ground him, does he go on a permanent list of guys to keep an eye on?
I guarantee he's on the short list of the Secret Service. Also, I'm sure he doesn't have a pilot's certificate anymore and won't be doing much of that aviating stuff. Because the one thing you do not want to do as a pilot is violate a presidential flight restriction because, if you don't comply immediately to their radio calls or to the actually what they do come up and intercept and turn you away from where they want you not to be, you're going to get talked to. Sometimes if you just clip the edge of it, they'll tag you up, as it's called. They'll put a little ident tag that follows you on the radar. And when you land at Flay Bob Airport, somebody will be sitting there waiting for you to go, hey, you know there's a restriction up?
I'm watching this right now. It's on Channel 4 right now. Whoever's president, man, when you see that Air Force One, that big 747 come to town, man, there is so much power associated with that flight, with that plane.
Absolutely. And before he comes into town, about 3 days before, there's a big C-17 that comes in, a couple of them, with all the equipment, all the cars, all the other stuff that they need when he comes in. Plus, there's three of those vertical, what they call a V-22 or the Osprey that has the big articulated wings that, they're a helicopter, but then they can rotate their rotor blades over into it, like an airplane mode. Those things are here too. And they're the ones carrying the guys who will come in and take care of business if something happens on the ground. But there's a lot of support that comes in for the president 3 or 4 days before on the aircraft side, before he arrives. And of course, then the local office of the Secret Service does a lot of advance work, but it's not an easy task and it's not a real, small event when he comes to town. They do everything they can to make sure he's safe. And, when I see the Air Force One, in fact, I saw him one day coming into Long Beach.
I'm sorry, Obama. But one second. Tim, it's on Channel 2 right now. Let's go to Channel 2. It's the audio here. The president coming to Long Beach here. Air Force One is just coming to a stop there at Long Beach Airport. And President Biden will be coming off the stairs
they
pretty quickly.
They are scheduled to attend a big rally at Long Beach City College this evening, where they will greet supporters and make a last push effort to get out the vote for Gavin Newsom. Of course, tomorrow is the deadline to return ballots and to vote in this recall election. They should be met by Mayor Robert Garcia, who is also a big supporter of not only Governor Gavin Newsom, but also President Joe Biden. So as you can see, the Air Force One has landed there at Long Beach Airport, and they will be making their way to Long Beach City College for a rally momentarily, and we'll have more.
Okay, we'll have updates all night on this, but it's interesting that, you know, if you're on the 405 freeway, you absolutely, if you're in that area, you saw the Air Force One come right over your head because that's where they land. They come right up over like Seal Beach. And they usually land going northwest on that runway. So they came right over the 405. If you saw that, if you're stuck on freeway there, that's a sight that you don't normally see in life, right? Air Force One with the president on board coming overhead. And it's kind of cool, right? And again, doesn't matter who's president. There's a lot of power associated with that plane. And when you see it live coming right over your head like that, it's kind of cool. All right, Tim Lin's with us. Steve Gregory will be on with us at 6:30, and we'll be following the president all night here. Kind of a cool night. We're live on KFI AM 640. More now with Croce. KFI AM 640, it's Conway's show. The President Biden has landed at Long Beach, and now he's in, what do they call that, the Beast?
The Beast.
The Beast.
He's the Beast.
And he's leaving Long Beach Airport to go and try to save Gavin Newsom's skin. And
yeah, Tim, he's heading to Long Beach City College.
How far is that from the airport? 10 minutes?
I'll have
That's the one with the pyramid gym, right?
I think that's Long Beach State.
That's right. That's Long Beach State. So he's going to City College?
Yes, Long Beach City College.
Wow.
And then apparently they haven't confirmed, but there's a lot of security gathering around the Westin in Long Beach.
Ooh.
And so they believe he's probably staying there overnight.
He didn't do a cartwheel down those stairs, did he?
Not yet.
Okay. All right. All right. We'll check in with traffic with our pal Angel Martinez because traffic is going to be snarled in Long Beach. And we'll tell you where in a second. But Tim Lin is with us as well. Tim, when you said that Air Force was on a final approach, they let websites track that plane?
Yeah, I was up on one of the websites that I follow, and I was really surprised when I got word that it was actually being on there because he can go discreet into where you never see him. But Air Force One can't. But
I bet that's a mistake. Yeah,
I don't know, man. I followed it all the way from Sacramento as he went through Nathers and came all the way down and watched the over Dora.
Right, but if you were the head of Secret Service, wouldn't you yell at somebody for that?
Yeah, I wouldn't want somebody tracking me like that because it's pretty much real time. There's no delay on it. The old ones used to have a kind of a 15-minute delay. These don't.
About the runway? They come right over the 405 and land on that runway that goes north northwest.
That's right. Runway 30. Yeah.
Big dog.
Yeah, they come right over, right down over Huntington Beach, over Seal Beach Weapons Station. And
right.
Drop down and right over that freeway, man. They're like, here, take the roof off your car.
Why do they land there? Is that a longer runway than the Seal Beach Naval Station?
Yes. The runway 30 at Long Beach is longer than Los Alamitos Army Airfield there, the joint base there. They also, too, he's going into Long Beach, and they try to get him on the ground as close to where he's going as they can. Plus, too, he was helping out the folks in Long Beach, so you got to put on a big show for the powers to be for Long Beach.
Right. I noticed that Gavin Newsom was not wearing a tie, and the president was. Isn't that a mistake to underdress the president? Whatever the president's wearing, you got to at least match it or overdress.
If I go back here a little bit, I think they both were without ties. I mean, Biden had his coat thing, but I was surprised to see Newsom come off the airplane because that raises questions for me: is why does he get a ride on Air Force One down here while he's in a campaign? Is his campaign paying for part of that airfare down Sacramento?
Interesting.
Interesting. Even the president can't take Air Force One out unless there is some type of presidential duties, which it was. He went up to firefighters. Yeah, firefighters up there. And I don't know if you heard, he said he was a firefighter back when he was running for Senate. So he's been a
very busy man.
Big wheel driver, firefighter. Right.
Top of his class. He graduated top of his class the whole run.
Yeah.
He was also shot down in Afghanistan. He's had a long life, long crazy life.
Yeah.
All right, Tim, can we check in with you throughout the evening if anything goes down?
I'm here for you, buddy.
You're the best, man. All right, thanks for coming on. Tim Lin, Steve Gregory is going to come on with us, but Tim Lynn, a helicopter pilot with a local, or was with a local TV station here. Sounds like Johnny Carson.
On another station here in Los Angeles, all right? And a very popular reporter out at the Sunset Lux Hotel yesterday, Steve Gregory will be joining us. All right? It's the Carson Show, tonight's show, and we'll be back in 2 and 2. Or is that another show? All right, more now with, Michael Crozier? All right, Michael is here? Michael is not here. Michael is here. All right, Michael Crozier.
KFI AM 640. It's Conway Show. We're keeping an eye on the president. He is in town supporting Gavin Newsom. It's a little embarrassing for Gavin Newsom to have to bring somebody in at last minute like this, so they must think it's tighter than we all think it is. But we'll keep an eye on that. Angel will have street closures all night. I'll tell you where he ends up, what hotel, and any kind of speech he has. We'll try to carry that live. Steve Gregory joins us. Nice to see you, bub.
Hey, buddy.
Now, yesterday you were out at the Lux Hotel, mm-hmm. which is right off Sunset in the 405.
It's a really nice little hotel.
Yes, it is. Yes. Yeah.
And you know what's funny? I keep forgetting that place is there, but that's kind of interesting because it's one of those that's tucked away there. And it's nice because it's very private.
Right.
It's right there on a hillside.
That's right.
Yeah. And it's really nice.
And moderately priced. Hotel rooms are clean, right?
Oh, yeah. I've stayed there once.
Right.
Really nice
place. Okay. And we'll be back with more of the travel show on KFI AM 640 with Steve Gregory.
You know what? I've been thinking about doing something like that anyway.
You should do a travel show.
I want to do a travel show.
You know, this station would be great to have you on doing a travel show.
You know, that would be fun, except... They will never let me go. It's like The Godfather, you know. I try to get out, but they suck me back in.
Right, but I think, like, you know, it'd be perfect to follow, you know, Neil Saavedra, or maybe before Neil Saavedra, like a food show and a travel show, something light on the weekends. I'd listen to that in a heartbeat. Mm. Right, and you travel around. You tell us about all the cool spots. I think it's a great idea.
Maybe I should do a love show.
I'll produce it. Oh yes, yeah. How to be a single at 58.
F you.
Very rarely does Steve Gregory swear on the air, even in letters.
What
do you mean kind of love show? I mean, come on, buddy. You're a single guy, you know, enjoying yourself.
I'm not single.
You're not?
No.
Whoa. Congratulations.
I've been single in 3 years.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Bellio, did you know that?
Yeah, I knew.
You knew he has a significant other?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I did not hear that.
Yes, you did. Wait, Crozier, did you know?
Yes.
Russ?
No, I didn't know that. This is news to me.
Angel?
Yeah.
Who is this woman? Who was this woman?
There's a reason I keep my private life private.
Okay. All right. That's over with. Who is she? Do we know her? Does she work here?
No, listen.
Is she older? Is she younger?
If everything goes well, she'll get parole next year.
All right. That's great, dude. Are you planning on getting married?
I don't have a girlfriend.
Oh, my God.
Come on. I love how everyone played along, though.
That is fantastic.
I haven't had a girlfriend in a long time. You say, who's got time to have a girlfriend?
That's how you should open your love show. I haven't had a girlfriend in a while. I'll show you how to do it.
Lines are open.
I'll show you how to do it.
Well, here's the thing. I take my 30-something years of credibility as a journalist, and I apply it to romance. Right. Call now.
Hey, by the way, that shot right there. Well, never mind. Okay, let's get into this. So yesterday, you were at the Lux Hotel.
Yeah.
Larry Elder and Rose McGowan.
Yeah, so the premise was Rose McGowan... a former actress. She doesn't want to be called an actress anymore. Right. So she came out last week with a story where she alleges Governor Newsom's wife was in collusion with Harvey Weinstein's attorneys and legal team. And they were trying to kind of back channel Rose McGowan under the guise of like documentary filmmaking and whatnot to get her to really back off of the allegations she made against Weinstein. So this was the bombshell that she was supposed to be talking about yesterday. And she also talked about the fact she lives in a jungle in Mexico.
I thought that was odd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm going to play a little for you, and you can just bail out when you want to do it. So here, Russ, this is going to be Rose Cut A. This is kind of how she started the afternoon.
My enemies do not understand me. It's okay, I don't understand them. We're at a fundamental impasse at that point. So imagine my surprise last week when I'm on the Dave Rubin show, and we're talking about the recall, which I'd only had kind of a tangential awareness of because I live in Mexico. I live in the jungle. It took a lot for me to come to the U.S. I'm scared of this place. It's been very cruel to me. It has not been kind. A lot of people in this country like to kill that which they don't understand. It's like a cult. I grew up in one. I would know. I know all the markers. So I'm asking people watching or people reporting on this. First of all, don't report on me as an actress. I hung up that shingle 10 years ago. I fought my way out of that world.
Oh, nice.
I deserve more respect than that. Thank you. That's a side note. So imagine my surprise when I'm on air with Dave and I say, yeah, even it came back to me. Gavin Newsom's ex-wife contacted me. And I said her name, and he said, that's his current wife. And I said, it is? I mean, I had so many monsters after me during the period that she made contact. An organization called We Are Ultraviolet that I do not trust, a feminist activism group, got a hold of me and said, Jennifer Siebel Newsom, she's a big producer of feminist films in Hollywood documentaries. She's pro-women. She'll help you. I had just directed a movie. It was nominated for Grand Jury Prize at Sundance. And because of the consistent and total blacklisting that I'd endured for almost all of my career, as haphazard as it was, after Weinstein assaulted me, I thought maybe someone will help me finally. Maybe somebody will be real. Maybe. Maybe this will be the one. Because I always hope. They haven't taken that away from me. God, they've come close. So after Dave tells me that she's his current wife, on the way home, I go through my emails. And I'm like, and I remembered. I said, yeah, his ex-wife called me and said, what will it take? What can Boyce Schiller do to make you happy? Now, I had no idea who Boyce Schiller was at this point.
Right, she can.
This is about.
Okay.
Just fade out. I mean, I was waiting for you to.
It's kind of a light afternoon.
Huh? Yeah. So this Boyce Schiller, that's the law firm representing Weinstein.
Right.
So what's interesting about it is then when Larry Elder actually came up to talk about it, and this is going to be Larry Cut B. I don't know if you want to wait.
Yeah. Take a quick break and then we'll come back. You had also asked her a couple questions, right?
Well, I asked Larry a question, and
she jumped in.
She jumped in.
Okay, yeah. And we have that audio too.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Steve Gregory, man, working weekends, right? Out there at the Lux Hotel, in right off of Sunset and the 405, all the local news stations where they're covering as well.
I have a girlfriend, so what else?
That's right. Yeah. Did she go with you? All right. We're live on KFI. More now with Croce. KFI, AM 640, it's Conway Show. Steve Gregory is with us. That's a great song. Yeah. Yes. All right, yesterday you were at Lux Hotel.
Yeah.
Larry Elder, Rose McGowan. And Rose McGowan, big bombshell that was covered by all the local networks.
And national, too.
And you got the first question.
First question. So in this one here, what I'll do is set it up. This will be Larry C. But, you know, Elder did, he got pretty worked up and talked about the hypocrisy of the media and the bias of the media. And, you know, he brought up Venice. He actually talked about the attack, the attempted assault on him last week.
For people who missed that, it was a white woman and a...
You want me to...
Sure.
That's a shortcut here.
Oh, let's do it.
Larry A, Russ. Larry A.
All right, Larry A.
Here we go.
The other day in Venice, at a homeless encampment, some white woman in a gorilla mask threw an egg at me. It would have been major story if I had a D at the end of my name. They'd be talking about it in Bangladesh. They'd be calling it a hate crime. They'd have a manhunt for her. But because I have an R at the end of my name, nobody gives a rip. Now, I've never, ever, ever played the race card. I've never told people to vote for me because I'm black or to vote against me because I'm black. But I will tell you something. There was an article on the front page of the New York Times, all about me, negative, of course. Never once mentioned that I am black, never once mentioned that I would be the first black governor of California. That's fine with me. But on the same page, long article about the, quote, first female governor of New York, close quote. So it was relevant to the New York Times when this female governor, who only became governor because Cuomo resigned, was the first. But it's not relevant that I'm the first black president, black governor of California.
Wow. That's pretty spot on.
Yeah, you know, he made quite a few valid points. You know, he talked a lot about the fact that he's been maligned in the media and he's been misquoted. He even talked about Major Garrett, who's now at CBS, used to be at Fox,
right,
and talked about that interview and how the interview was very, very skewed. Just talks about the fact that, I mean, and to be honest with you, Tim, the majority of the event yesterday was the media getting scolded. It really was a lot about, and the Democratic Party. About the hypocrisy in the Democratic Party. And that's a lot of what he talked about. And a lot of the fact that the media has not been giving him a fair shot. So,
well, speaking of that, I mean, I watched, I made it a point last night, and I do almost every night. I tape local news, channel 2, 4, 5, 7, 9, 11, right? I record them all, and then I watch most of them, right? Channel 7, ABC, never mention it. Never mention Rose McGowan or Larry Elder or why they were at the Lux Hotel. Never mention it.
And it's interesting because their photographer was right behind me last night.
They had a video clip of it, but never mentioned her name or why she was there or why he was there. Never. It was odd. It was strange.
And see, and here's the thing, and not going too deep in the weeds, but this sort of illustrates the example that there is no such thing as 100% objective news. It doesn't exist.
Right.
Because you're dealing with human beings, you're dealing with backgrounds, and you're dealing with all sorts of different influences. And so it's interesting. I don't know what Channel 7's plan was. What's Channel 2's plan? What's KFI's plan? You know.
But I think that's why people tune into KFI.
Well, I would like to think that you know, our news product is as objective as it can be, you know, given that we are all human too, and sometimes we don't get it always right, but we certainly strive to get it right.
Right.
And we certainly strive to be objective.
And I know the newsroom works diligently to always get the facts right before. It's better to get it right than be first.
Right. We've always had that mantra, and the sign hangs up in the newsroom that people never remember when you're first and wrong. I don't know. See, now I screwed it up. They never remember.
Maybe we should redo that sign. Where is it?
Or maybe I should read it again. No one ever remembers when you're first. They remember when you got it.
You know what? What about this is an easier sign? Report like champions, right? Isn't it play like champions? Isn't that Notre Dame?
Like that. I don't remember.
So they all slap it before they hit the field?
My people will get that to you.
All right.
So if you want, I'll play this real quick. This is the Q&A. So the setup is I asked Larry. Afterwards, we were told to identify ourselves. There was also a little bit of a faux pas on McGowan's part. She said she used to listen to Larry every day on AM 640.
That's great.
Yeah. So, and then when I asked the question and I identified myself as Steve Gregory from AM 640,
Larry Elder jumped in.
Larry Elder jumped in and quickly corrected it.
All right.
But I'm not going to play that, but you'll just have to take my word for it. Larry, this is Larry C. The setup was, the question was, Larry, you act surprised by this. He had already gotten worked up. You act surprised about these attacks on you, and here's what he said.
Didn't I know that the media had a double standard and I would be subjected to a hypocrisy on the part of you guys? Yes, I knew it. I knew it.
And I stopped him. I said, that was not my question, sir. My question was, why are you surprised by the way that people are treating you in this case? And I had two follow-ups but didn't get to two of them.
I knew what I was getting into.
Now I tell Rose McGowan, get over to the mic.
Right. If you're going to be on, get in front of the mic.
But that does not make it okay. It does not make it okay that the New York Times has 98.5% of its readers identifying as Democrats. But people yell about Fox News, only Republicans watching, right? And when you all question, you're a part of it. I don't know your coverage. I don't know your work. I'm sure it's stellar, truly.
It is.
But you're a part of it. Didn't you know it was going to be a dirty fight? Yeah. Does that make it okay? And does that make you all not complicit in it? Does it make the New York Times, who got a Pulitzer off of me calling them, unlike what Jody Cantor, the journalist who
That's okay. A Pulitzer. I think that she was saying you as in the media, not you as in Steve Gregory. That's the way I heard it.
Well, I don't know. I mean, her body language was also pretty direct. And I also think that I don't know whether she was being
She's been
genuine
through a lot.
Or with she was being sarcastic. It was really kind of hard to get a read on her when she was looking at me saying that.
She's an interesting person. I don't know why. Well, I obviously I do know why, because, you know, because nobody wants to hire her, but she would be a great like talk show host or have her own like podcast. That's something a lot of people would like to listen to.
You know, the last time someone said that on this microphone, the sheriff ended up doing 2 hours on a Sunday. So if you saying that now, if program director is listening, I'm sure I'll get a text after this break saying, can we get Rose on the air?
Oh,
can you contact your girlfriend?
Gambling hey now. Rose. Do you remember that? You remember Jim Healy, right?
Yeah.
He used to play that song, Gambling Rose, when they talked about Pete Rose. Gambling Rose. You know that Jim Healy's son is Patrick Healy? Did you know that? From NBC?
I know Pat, but
Patrick Healy is Jim Healy's son. Yeah. Yeah. You didn't know that?
I did not know that.
I did not know that. I did not know that.
I did not hear that.
Is Jim Healy? Jim Healy's no longer with us, but Patrick Healy is his son. That's a true story.
And Pat is one of the best in the business.
He really is great. I saw him today on TV, and he was.
He's you're talking about someone who's solid, objective.
That's right.
Gets it right. Most of those NBC4 people, I mean, I've known those folks for a long time. They're all very solid.
Yes. All right, Steve, thanks for coming
you got
in.
It, pal.
Giant stud, and say hi to the better half.
To the missus?
That's right. All right. We're live on KFI AM 640.
F you.